Thank you, Father. We'll begin in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And this book is a book of lessons. And so everything that's recorded is for our purpose. So at page 199. It's getting rid of our high places, or really identifying our high places. And we're going to see in the Old Testament, it was a big problem that people would not give up their high places. And so if we want to become telulos, you know, we need to find out what those are and get rid of them so we can pass it on generationally. But in 5 verse 1, become you therefore imitators of Yahweh as children beloved and walk in love. Even as Christ also loved you and delivered himself up in your behalf, an offering of sacrifice unto Yahweh for a fragrance of sweet smell. What a great verse to know. But fornication and all impurity or covetousness, and according to Melania's teaching on Jael and Deborah or Deborah, is prosperity brings corruption to most people. Once they become prosper, they don't need Yahweh anymore. And so the lust of my flesh I'm going to consume. And then all of a sudden, help, 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 you know, I'm imprisoned. Yeah, 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 same old story. So I don't want to be like that. So here, the fornication and all impurity or covetous, let not be named among you, even as becoming saints. And shamelessness and foolish talking or jesting, which things are beneath you, but rather giving of thanks. But this you know, if you take note, that no fornicator or impure or greedy person who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of the Christ and Yahweh. Let no one be deceiving you with empty words, for because of these things is coming the anger of Yahweh upon the sons of obstinance. You know, many times we think of grace, and now we've got unconditional love that we can just do anything that we want because Christ paid it all. And Ephesians is just completely contradicting that. Be not then become co-partners with them, for you were at one time darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. As children of light be walking, for the fruit of light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, putting to the test what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And be not joining in fellowship in the unfruitful works of darkness. And we're going to see that in the Old Testament. That's always the case. Marrying unbelievers. Hanging out with unbelievers. But rather, be even administering reproof. You know, we got in the Sedgwick County Republican Party. The head guy is a homosexual in the Republican Party. And it's accepted. And that's how it happens. That's how the fall begins. For the secret things which are brought to pass by them, it is shameful even to speak. All things, however, when reproved by the light, become manifest, for of all of itself make it manifest its light. Wherefore it saith, up thou sleeper, and arise from among the dead, or awake from among the dead, and the Christ will shine upon thee. Be taking heed, therefore, exactly how you are walking, not as wise, unwise, but as wise. So be taking heed, therefore, exactly how you are walking. Very important to keep looking at our walk, be up to people's decision when they say, hey, I don't know if I'd really be doing that, or I don't know if I'd really be associating with that person. And to keep you on guard, that you could be going someplace where you shouldn't be going. We're going to see a whole history of that, beginning with Solomon. So we're going to go to 1 Kings 3. But one thing about the high places, I never saw it associated with King David, or David. But we see it kind of begin in with Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3. So what we're going to do is learn from other people's mistakes. And so it's like somebody who has a terrible life. So one thing they can do is be a lesson, don't live like him. So you want to look at somebody who has a successful life and you go, be just like him. Mm-hmm. And so the person's life is not a waste because you look at them and say, don't be like him. Or otherwise you'll end up that way. You know, Robin Williams, you know, you're looking at Michael Jackson. We saw a deal on Elvis Presley, you know, 42 years old, dead. Michael Jackson, 50 years old, dead. You know, just one after another after another, you could say, yikes, I thought money was it. And on the contrary, these guys were miserable. So we can learn from that. Saul, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. You want to read that, Wendy?
And Solomon contracted an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took the daughter of Pharaoh and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of the building his own house and the house of Yahweh and the wall of Jerusalem round about, save only that the people were sacrificing in the high places, because there had not been built a house unto the name of Yahweh until those days. Solomon loved Yahweh by walking in the statutes of David his father, save only that in the high places he himself was sacrificing and offering incense. So then the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 ascending sacrifices did Solomon offer up on that altar. In Gibeon, Yahweh appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and Yahweh said, ask what I shall give thee.
And we'll stop there. But you keep seeing the asterisks. You know, Solomon did good, save, and going to the high place. So it's like an asterisk. Save, really good, but just wouldn't kick this habit. Now, what we looked at, what we're going to see in Deuteronomy is what the laws actually said. So let's just go to Deuteronomy 12. They were supposed to have read, every king was supposed to read the book of the law. Deuteronomy 12, 1 through 7. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Page 211.
Chapter 12. These are the warnings, the same warnings with us. These are the statutes and the regulations which we must observe to do in the land which Yahweh, the Elohim of thy fathers, hath given unto thee, to possess it all the days that we're living upon the soil. You must utterly destroy all the places where the nations whom you are depossessing have served their Elohims, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under the green trees. So you're always seeing the high places and under the green trees. And you must tear down their altars and break in pieces their pillars. Their sacred stems must you consume with fire, and the carved images of their Elohims must you fell to the ground and destroy their name out of that place. You must not do thus unto Yahweh your Elohim, but unto the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, as to his habitation, shall you ask your way and come in thither. So Yahweh is going to show them Jerusalem. First it was Shiloh where the tabernacle was, and then it was moved to Gibeon, and then it was moved to Jerusalem. And Solomon was in Jerusalem with his high places, but he did go to Gibeon and sacrifice there too. So people in their high places could be sacrificed unto Yahweh, but you're also going to find out they can be sacrificed unto other gods. Now we go back to 1 Kings 11, Solomon.
365.
Yep. And we all know about his fall with his wives. And it says when he was old, it might have been the last 2 years of his life. But devastating. I mean, just absolutely, I mean, generationally devastating. So we've got to realize, most of us, I was raised a Catholic, I mean, Sean was raised a Catholic, and raised a Mormon, so we had some foundation of morality. Some people have no foundation whatsoever. And when you generationally raise somebody pleasing the lust of the flesh, you know, they have a hard time after, you know, 20 years of that to cut themselves from that, if even if they ever do. So it's with us to live that life until all of a sudden I can say I've finished my course. I have been an example for all the people who are watching my life. You know, I don't have any high places that I know of. And if I do, come and tell me. Get rid of that. But Solomon did not do that. So in 11, 1 through 11, Melania, why don't you read for a little while and I'll take over.
All righty. The king Solomon loved many foreign women together with their with the daughter of Pharaoh. Women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, out of the nations concerning whom Yahweh had said unto the sons of Israel, ye shall not go unto them, they shall not come unto you. Surely you will turn aside your heart after their gods, for these did Solomon cleave in love. So it came to pass that he had 700 wives, who were princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned aside his heart. Yea, it came to pass, the old age of Solomon, that his wives turned aside his heart after other gods. His heart, therefore, was not sound with Yahweh his God, as was the heart of David his father.
I'll start. And Solomon went after Ashtoreth, goddess of the Zidonians, after Milcom, the abominations of the Amorites. And we're going to see his son is Rehoboam. He's going to take out after him. And we're going to find out his mother was an Amoritess.
Ammonitess.
So you realize, wait a minute here. So one of his foreign women, who has gods, which we're going to see, is Milcom and Moloch. His son, who is king, mother is one of these people.
Moloch was the god that they threw their children, babies into the fire.
Verse 6, thus Solomon did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. God, don't you just hate to have that? Tim did such a things that were wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. So you're in your life with that asterisk.
Yeah.
You know, loved, visited, gave him his whole livelihood, gave him his life, and then this is how you ended it. God. And went not fully after Yahweh as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abominations of the son of Ammon. So that's who Rehoboam's mother is.
Mm.
And thus did he for all his foreign wives who burn incense and offer sacrifices unto their Elohims. They burn incense was in the high places also. So you did two things in the high places, incense or sacrifices. Therefore, you can imagine what Jerusalem was like now. This was the holy place, and now you've got incense on housetops and fires going on housetops everywhere. And we're going to find out right in front of the gates of Jerusalem. Therefore, did Yahweh show himself angry with Solomon because his heart had turned aside from Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, prosperity. Prosperity, prosperity, prosperity is the thing we always have to, is could be our worst enemy. Who had appeared unto him twice and had been given a command to him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. How did he do that? By sending prophets. He sent prophets to him, stop it, stop it. But he had not taken heed unto that which Yahweh has commanded. Wherefore Yahweh said unto Solomon, for as much as he hath come to pass with thee, that thou hast not heeded my covenant and my statutes which I charge upon thee, I will rent the kingdom away from thee and will give it unto a servant of thine. And we find out he didn't do it during his lifetime because of David, the Hesed for David, which is David. Now Rehoboam, his son, who's going to be in charge, is chapter 14, verse 21. We're just going to go through the kings of Judah alone, who were righteous, the kings of Israel, you know, Jeroboam, just automatically, when it says, were any of them good? None. Except for Jehu, did some good stuff. But we look at 14, verse 21. And Rehoboam, son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. 41 years old was Rehoboam when he began to reign. In 17 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And the city which Yahweh had chosen to put his name thereof, out of all the tribes of Israel, and his mother's name was Naamah, the what?
Amoritess.
Ammonitess.
She said like Ammonitess, but so that was the two gods, Moloch and Milcom. No wonder the kingdom's being split.
Yeah.
This is the son you put in charge? You know, it doesn't have a Hebrew mother. You know, how bad is that? Let's see. And that was back on the gods Milcom and Moloch. Now we go to verse 22 and 24. And Judah did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh and provoked him to jealousy above all that their fathers had done with their sins which they committed. And they also built for themselves high places, there's the high places, and pillars and sacred sands upon every high hill and under every green tree. Moreover, also there were male devotees, these are male prostitutes, in the land they did according to all the abominable practice of the nations which Yahweh depossessed from before the sons of Israel. Same old story, that's what we saw in the book of Judges that Melania was teaching about. Now we go to Jeroboam. Now here's a story, you know, the kingdom is being taken from Solomon, and so Yahweh gives it to Jeroboam, and Jeroboam is going to take the 10 of the 12 tribes who are north. And what an honor. Yahweh anointed him. And so we go to chapter 12 of 1 Kings.
Go back to
chapter 12. Verse 25. So he's taken this, but he's not going, and I can see this a lot of times, is when Yahweh has you do something that looks logically that this isn't going to work, our tendency is to use our own imagination to make it work. So he's saying, trust me, and I think, I don't know if you really know what's going to happen here. So you can imagine the angle. The Israelites were supposed to come to Jerusalem how many times a year?
Three
times. All male, period. So you separated from Rehoboam, which he wasn't happy, but they're all going to have to come back into his hometown. And so their mind could be is, this isn't going to go good, because eventually they're going to say, well, let's just go back to Rehoboam. And what are they going to do with Jeroboam? They'll probably kill him. Because you took the 10 tribes. Rehoboam will have you killed. So that's logic, right? But Yahweh said, I got you in charge. Cool.
Didn't he need it though?
Yeah. But he doesn't do it. In 25 to 33, chapter 12, then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and dwelt therein and went forth from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifice in the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem, then will the heart of this people return unto their Lord, unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will slay me and return unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. Okay. Wherefore the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, this is the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Really simple. There was Yahweh, and the Trinity was God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, Jeroboam. This is old. Before the Trinity, it was Jeroboam. And said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was from Nazareth, was a 3-day walk. And so a person said, hey, it's right here, half a day away. Not the 3-day walk. And not only am I putting the guy, I'm putting the one in Bethel, which is the house of El. It's already got a holy name, and that's where El saw Jacob. Right? So it's a holy place as it is. And lo, thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You know, where did I ever hear that?
Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron. Aaron. You're like, ah.
What's up with the calves?
Yeah, but people want them. It's really simple. People want them. They want to pray to Mary. You know, that's the Catholic faith. Yeah, she's the mediator between God, Yahweh, and man. So, let me keep going. I'll go to 33. Oh, Aaron, why don't you read from 29 to 33.
And he set up the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, and the people went before the one as far as Dan. And he made a house of the high places, and made priests for the whole compass of the people who were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam made a festival in the 8th month of the 15th day of the month, like the festival which was held in Judah, and offered up on the altar likewise did he in Bethel, and sacrifices to the calves which he had made. And he kept in attendance in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. And he offered up on the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month which he had devised out of his own heart, Thus made he a festival for the sons of Israel and offered up on the altar to make perfume.
Wow, so now you got Rehoboam, who's bad. Now you got Jeroboam, who has stabbed Yahweh, who incorporated him right in the heart, because, you know, that festival day was supposed to be the 7th month, the 15th day. That's the festival of booths. So he says, I'm just going to change it because people like that. And this is what the communists did. Many times with the Christian holidays, people like Christmas. And so instead of calling it Christmas, they would call it like what our schools call it, which is what?
Winter festival.
Winter festival. So they don't take away those vacations and days. They just give them a different name, an ungodly name. And that's what obviously Jeroboam did.
Easter instead of resurrection.
Yeah, Easter. Now we go to chapter 14, verse 6. And it's amazing. We know that a prophet came up to Jeroboam and said, and prophesied to the altar. And Jeroboam said, get him. And who's he trying to get, the prophet or Yahweh?
Yahweh.
Yahweh, that's what he's trying to get, Yahweh. And his arm froze, and then he asked for deliverance. And I thought, how many chances are you going to take, guy? Yahweh promoted you to king, and now he's giving you another chance, and he actually gave you your arm back. I can imagine that. All of a sudden, he's like, oh, man. You know, he's just stuck. Man, I can't live like that. And then it's, Hey, guy, come over here for a minute. Hold Tim, kill him. No, let's have lunch. But otherwise, can you do something with this? And that Yahweh's alive and well. You're fighting Yahweh. But now we're going to go to his son is sick. And he's saying, go to Hilkiah, which was the prophet who made me king, and disguise yourself. If he's a prophet, how can you have a disguise? You're trying to say, so Yahweh won't recognize you. That's what it comes down to.
I'll use a British accent.
Yeah, so this is really good. Listen. And then he couldn't see anyway. Chapter 14, 6 through 11. But you're going to see, God, Yahweh just nails this guy. Chance after chance, he could have repented and said, I give up, I'm sorry. Take the kingdom away from me. Yahweh is El. So in 6, so it came to pass when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she entered the doorway that he said, in that night, just heard her feet, he's blind. Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Wherefore is it that thou art fretting to be a stranger woman, seeing that I am sent unto thee with something hard to bear? Go say unto Jeroboam, for thus Yahweh Elohim of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee out of the midst of the people and gave thee to be leader over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it unto thee, and yet thou hast not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do only that which was right in my eyes. You know, it's interesting. I'm going to keep going through here. But Jeroboam, it really comes down to, I'm going to do what Yahweh says, and if they kill me, they kill me. I'll be rewarded great when I get alive. You know, we should have that same situation too, even our senses. You know, and if it doesn't work out, great, but if it does, I'm going to go down that way. I'd rather take my rewards and live this life and be exiled from Yahweh. Verse 9, but has made wicked thy doings beyond any who were before thee, and has gone and made the other gods, and that is the Christian church, you know, around 300, probably 150 A.D., you know, with a Christian today. Made other gods, even molten images, to provoke me to anger, and has cast me behind thy back. We see with Christian denominations now is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yahweh's not even in the picture. You look at a pathway church and we'll say seek Jesus, community,
Jesus,
and something like that. Actually, we had that with Robert Tolle, the Word of Life. It's seek Jesus, on and on. Yahweh doesn't even exist in these guys' people, which you're like, wow. Let me see, verse 10, therefore, behold me bringing misfortune against the house of Jeroboam, and I will cut off the meanest pertaining to Jeroboam, whether shut up or left at large, and Israel will I consume after the house of Jeroboam, as one consumeth dung, till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the birds of the heaven eat, for Yahweh hath spoken. Wow.
Bam.
Still better repent. And so we've been in places, and you guys have probably been too. You present the word of the Yahweh to somebody, and nah. And these are pastors. Nah. Okay. Just like Jeroboam. But we go on. Now we're going to see the kings of Judah with their high places. And so when it got established from the people, from Solomon, we're going to go right down to the kings of Judah. Asa, 1 Kings 15:14. He's a good king. The asterisk can always be next to them.
Good king,
but look at verse 11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, like David his father. Great. I don't want an asterisk by my name. 14. But the high places removed he not. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was blameless with David all his life. There's the asterisk. Let's go to Jehoshaphat, chapter 23, verse 43. Good king too.
What chapter?
23. Verse 43. And he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside thereof, doing that which is right in the eyes of Yahweh. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. Still were the people offering sacrifice and burning incense in the high places, and Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now we go to Hosea, 2 Kings 12:3. Hosea, yeah, I think that's it. 2 Kings 12, 3. There's a reason why Yahweh mentions this over and over and over and over again. How many times did he give us breaks? 3, and Jehoash did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh all his days, whereunto Jehoiada, the priest, instructed him, save only that the high places took they not away, and that was the high priest too. Jehoiada was saying they took not away, that the high places took they not away. Still were the people sacrificing and bringing incense in the high places. Just wouldn't take that away from the people. We go to Uzziah, 2 Kings 15, verse 2. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and 52 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and the name of his mother was Jehoiada of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, according to all that Amaziah his father had done. Only the high places took they not away. Still were the people sacrificing and burning incense in the high places. So we're talking about hundreds of years that were going by here. Jotham, 15:34, 34 and 35. And he did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, according to all that Uzziah his father had done. Only the high places took they not away. Still were the people offering sacrifice and burning incense in the high places. He built the upper gates of the house of Yahweh. So you're looking at it. Well, Yahweh is always repeating the same thing. He could have said, oh, the heck with it. Let's just keep the high places. All right. Yeah. Let's just accept it into the church. It's good.
Homosexuality.
Yeah, homosexuality. Yeah. Praying to Mary, you know, Trinity, it's good, it's close enough. Ahaz, 16, verse 2 through 4. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and 16 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and he did that which was
did
right.
Not that.
Oh, yeah, not, did, not that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, his Elohim, like David his father, but walked in the ways of the king of Israel. Moreover, also he made his sons pass through the fire according to the abominable practice of the nations whom Yahweh depossessed before the sons of Israel. It's always interesting that they don't go through the fire themselves.
Yeah.
He always offers somebody else. And he offered sacrifice and burnt incense in the high places, on the high hills, and under every green tree. Religious? Absolutely. Now the kings of Israel... We're going to do a little summary, 2 Kings 17. Yahweh's going to tell us why the nation of Israel has fallen now. The king of Assyria has taken them all away. 150 years before Judah fell. And you would think that'd be enough reason for Judah to realize this. Let's read, but Yahweh's going to do a little thing right here, 7 through 18.
Chapter 17?
Chapter 17. What did I say that? Yeah. Okay. Verse 7 through 18. When do you want to start reading? And we'll just take over.
Verse 17, did you say?
No, 7 through 18. It's going to tell us their mistakes. What did they do wrong? How can we learn from not make the same mistakes?
And thus, it came to pass that Israel sinned against Yahweh their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yea, they did reverence to other gods, and walked in the statutes of the nations whom Yahweh had dispossessed from before the sons of Israel, and in the statutes of the kings of Israel which they had made.
Let me ask you to stop here. Are divorces done by the church?
No. Mm-mm.
Are they done the same way the world does them?
Yes.
Yes, they do. So you start looking at other things, that we follow the way of the world. Go ahead, 9.
And the sons of Israel did secretly things which were not right against Yahweh their God, and built for themselves high places in all their cities, from the watchman's tower to the fortified city. And they set up for themselves pillars and sacred stems upon every high hill, and under every green tree, and burned incense there in all the high places, like the nations whom Yahweh drove out from before them, and did things that were wicked, so as to provoke Yahweh to anger. And they served the manufactured gods, as to which Yahweh had said to them, "Ye shall not do this thing." And Yahweh testified against Israel and against Judah through all his prophets, every one who had a vision, saying, "Turn ye from your wicked ways, and keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent unto you through my servants the prophets. Howbeit they hearkened not, but stiffened their neck like the neck of their fathers, who trusted not in Yahweh their God, but rejected his statutes and his covenant which he solemnized with their fathers, and his testimonies wherewith he testified against them, and followed vanity, and became vain, and followed the nations that were round about them, as to whom Yahweh charged them, so that they should not do like them. But they forsook all the commandments of Yahweh their God, their Elohim, and made for themselves something molten, two calves, and made a sacred stem, and bowed themselves down to all the army of the heavens, and served Baal, and made their sons and their daughters pass through the fire, and used divinations and enchantments, and sold themselves to do the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, provoking him to wrath. So Yahweh showed himself exceeding angry with Israel, and removed them from his presence. There was none left save the tribe of Judah alone.
Okay, that's pretty good. You know, like homosexuality in the churches today, you know, and the Boy Scouts and everything else, just like the nations. And they consented to it, and many churches have done that, so that's the next situation. But we're going to see now back to the kings of Judah, Hezekiah, which is the great king, chapter 18, verses 4. He removed the high places and brake in pieces the pillars, and cut down the sacred stem, and beat in pieces the servant of bronze that Moses had made, because unto those days had the sons of Israel been burning incense thereunto, so he called it Nahushtan. And Yahweh, let me see here.
Nahushtan.
And Yahweh Elohim of Israel did he trust, so that the altar after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor there was any others before him. And he did cleave unto Yahweh, turned not away from following him, but kept his commandments which Yahweh commanded Moses. But we're going to find out something else that he didn't destroy. It says he destroyed the high places. He removed the high places, which is great. Manasseh comes in as his son. 21, chapter 21, verse 3. So it does show us as a family, as individuals, you got to do the same thing. You know, no matter how your parents raised you, if it's contrary, and when your children or grandchildren start doing the wrong thing, you got to make the stand and say, it's not with me. You know, this is it. I'm not going to be compromised. 21:3. And he again built the high places, which Hezekiah's father had destroyed, and reared altars of Baal, and made a sacred stand, and did, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and bowed down to all the armies of the heaven that served him. We know Manasseh was a terror. Now, the finally end one, the person who actually did away with all the high places is Josiah. And remember, when Jeroboam, we're talking about this, is 369 years later. So put it in perspective. 369 years from today is 1651. So the pilgrims came over in 1620. So that's how long corruption has been going. And we're going to see things that Solomon had built are still there. And that's with Asa being there, Uzziah, Jotham, Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, because they were things that were just like we have the, you know, I think Mary, and it just on generationally that goes on, but Josiah cleaned the house. And that is in 2 Kings 22:8, 22:8-11. And what he did first, he found this book. It's the same way with us. You know, I didn't know divorces are not supposed to go through the courts. You know, I didn't know that. I didn't know that you're not supposed to, if my brother was a fornicator, and not you're not supposed to associate with him. I didn't know that either, because I didn't read 1 Corinthians 5, or somebody wasn't expressing to me, because it was just other Christians were doing it, other organizations were doing it. It was just part of it because you didn't read the book. And Josiah is going to read the book. Then said Hilkiah, verse 8, the high priest unto Shaphan the scribe, the book of the law have I found in the house of Yahweh. So Hilkiah delivered the book unto Shaphan, and he read it. Then came Shaphan the scribe unto the king, and brought the king word again, and said, the servants have poured out the silver that was found in the house, and have delivered it unto the hand of the doers of the work who have oversight of the house of Yahweh. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, a book hath Hilkiah the priest delivered unto me. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And guess what he probably heard? Deuteronomy chapter 12 that we just read. And you will do this, and you will not have high places, and you will not do this, and you will tear this down, and you will only have sacrifices in here, and on and on and on. And you're like, holy mackerel! Look at this mess. I mean, you're looking at that, you got altars and high places throughout all of Jerusalem. And you're like, man, are we in trouble? And that's what he says. And they send it to the prophetess, and she says, yeah, you are in trouble, but you have a good heart. But he goes to work, and that is our inspiration to start knocking down the high places. 23, verse 4. And actually, we don't even have to go. Well, we'll start, but it's 4 through 21. That's going to be long, but I'll just read a couple. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the high... let me see here.
Yeah, they even have sacred stone in the house of Yahweh. The sacred stones were.
I know.
Let's go back to 23:1. You've got to enlighten the people. It's not like I'm doing this. This is what this book says, and you read it to them. Then the king sent, and there was gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets. Now, where are the you got priests, and you got prophets, and you got high places. You know, you got all sorts of garbage, and you got priests there, you got prophets there.
Just like today.
It's like today. Yeah, it really is. And all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of Yahweh. And people are saying, well, you're not going to take that literally, are you?
This is a different time.
Yeah, this is a different time. We're an evolving religion.
Yeah.
We're an evolving religion. And verse 4, then the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the entrance hall to bring forth out of the temple of Yahweh all the vessels that have been made for Baal. They're right in the church. In the house of Yahweh. You know, you're not only out, but you got right in. Well, perfect. And for the sacred stem, and for all the army of the heavens, and he burned them up outside Jerusalem in the field of Kinneret, and carried the ashes of them to Bethel. And he goes right to Bethel. Now remember, Israel's already gone. So, what's our Old Testament guy?
What? Jeroboam?
No, he writes a book.
Oh, Edersheim.
Yeah, Edersheim is showing you, he's got a lot of light. He's gone all the way up to Bethel. What happened to the king of Assyria? So things have really weakened down. And so Bethel's a long ways from Jerusalem, and that would have been Assyrian territory. So things have been breaking down. And so he went all the way up to there, and the altar that Jeroboam was sacrificing on, he ends up destroying. And they say, what's this plaque about? He says, well, they wrote about you 369 years ago. A prophet Josiah was coming here and was going to destroy this altar.
And here I am.
Yeah, and here I am, 369 years later. It's great because you go back to Jeroboam, it's going to say a prophet. Well, let's just go there. Keep your finger here. We'll finish up. First Kings 12:25, right around there. Yeah, this is great. And you're like, man, how proud Yahweh must be. How proud. Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about in the beginning, you know, when Moses and Aaron built the holy place for the altar and everything, and it's people would burn to death if they would go in there. They would die. And now they've traveled so far away that they've got a sacred stem in the house of Yahweh.
Yeah. And I'm looking at that. Well, I think we're all of us many times going into churches and we're seeing on their billboards, what the heck is this?
Paintings of Jesus.
Yeah, it is Jesus. And it's not even Christ, it's Jesus. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is God. And we bow down to Jesus. And it's a youth movement. It's 13 verse 1, 1 Kings. And lo, a man of Elohim came in out of Judah by the word of Yahweh unto Bethel, as Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make perfume. And he made proclamation against the altar, not against Jeroboam, but against the altar, by the word of Yahweh, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Yahweh, lo, a son to be born unto the house of David. What's his name?
Josiah's
name. Who shall sacrifice upon thee the priests of the high places who are making a perfume upon thee, and human bones shall he burn upon thee, and he shall give on that day a sign, saying, this is the sign which Yahweh has spoken. Lo, the altar is to be rent, and the ashes that are upon thee shall be poured out. Which happens that day also. Now here is the guy who's doing it. He's saying, wow. But think of Yahweh. Man, I got a lot banking on you. But that is, and you go through through Josiah and all that he did. He just cleaned house. But they said once he died, they went right back.
Yeah.
So it wasn't in the heart of the people. So he did it. They were lying to him to do it because he was king. But it's not in the heart of the people. And so they went back and ended up, Nebuchadnezzar came and took everybody away because of the wickedness. Let's finish in 2 Timothy 4.
But Daniel was one of those, isn't he? When Nebuchadnezzar took all
Daniel, Mordecai was taken, probably Hadassah was taken, Ezekiel was taken, and so there's a lot of people.
A lot of good people.
Haggai, Zephaniah, you know, the different prophets, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So let's finish off in 2 Timothy on our walk. Well, what does that got to do with me? It's our walk. Is to be able to say, how am I going to end my life?
You say 3, Daddy?
Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Yeah. Verse 1 through 8. We can do this? Yeah. This is to Timothy. I adjure thee before Yahweh and Christ Yahushua, who is about to be judging living and dead, both as to his foreshining and his kingdom, proclaim the word. Take thy position in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, encourage, with all long-suffering and teaching. For there will be a season when the healthful teaching they will not endure, but according to their own what?
Covetings.
Who wanted the high places? The people. The people want them. According to their own covetings, will unto themselves heap up what?
Teachers.
We got tons of them. Teachers, because they have an itching ear, so the people are casting their lots for this life and becoming very prosperous by doing that. And we've seen that with many pastors. They just sold their soul. And from the truth indeed their ears will they turn away. Well, unto stories will they turn themselves aside. But thou be sober in all things. Suffer hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Thy ministry, do what?
Completely
fulfilled. For I already poured out as a drink offering, and the season of my release is at hand. The noble contest have I contested. The race have I finished. The faith have I kept. Henceforth, life, you know, what a great, every one of us should be, that's what I want to say. When on my deathbed, the noble contest have I contested, the race have I finished, the faith have I kept. Wow. And be able to say, I finished my course. Henceforth lieth by for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will render unto me in that day. Now, are people going to be flocking to your funeral?
Nope.
No. A lot of times, everybody would say, good riddance, because you're standing for Yahweh. That's not the stories they want to hear.
Sure.
Yet not alone unto me, but unto all them who have loved his foreshining. Okay, we'll stop there. Let's finish strong, but as for me and my house, like Yahushua, we will serve Yahweh. And the rest of you guys aren't going to do it. You're going to go back to other gods. No, we won't. No, you're not going to. You're going to go out there. I love that. Yahushua was saying that to me. You're going to go out to other gods. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. Be bold and courageous and do not resist the comfort that I put into your lives, but accept that comfort, accept that redemptive power that I put upon you as a shroud upon you, a coat upon you, because I will lift you up when adversity comes your way. You are my children in whom I have a pleasure as you walk righteously upon my words and as you do my meditations and you seek my will to be pleasing in my sight, that I will raise you up and I will crown you with righteousness as I have done through my son, Yahushua Mashiach. Amen. See you next week.